Have you ever looked at an airplane and thought, that thing is older than my parents? I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, we're talking about five aircraft that have been flying so long, the engineers who designed them could never have imagined it. We're not talking about museum pieces, we're talking about airframes that are still on active duty, still doing the job, some of them pushing 70 years of continuous service. And the reasons they've lasted this long tell you a lot about what makes an airplane truly great. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you've hit a milestone in your flying career, whether it's your first solo, your instrument rating, or your ATP, Aviation Soul makes challenge coins that mark the moment with the weight it deserves. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's start with the big one, the Boeing B-52 Stratofortress. First flight, April 1952, that is, 74 years ago. The youngest B-52 in the Air Force inventory rolled off the line in 1962, which means the newest one is 64 years old. And here's what will really get you. The Air Force plans to keep flying them into the 2050s. That means some of these airframes will see a century of service. 100 years. There are B-52 crew members flying today whose grandfathers flew the same aircraft type. Not the same model, the same actual airplane. So why has the B-52 lasted this long? Two reasons. First, the airframe was overbuilt from the start. Boeing designed it with massive structural margins because they didn't fully understand metal fatigue in the early 50s. That conservatism turned out to be a gift. Second, the mission changed, but the platform adapted. It started as a high-altitude nuclear bomber, then it became a conventional bomber, then a cruise missile carrier, then a maritime strike platform. Every time the Pentagon needed a new capability, they found they could bolt it onto a B-52 cheaper than building something new. The engines have been replaced. The avionics have been replaced multiple times. The wings have been reskinned. But the basic fuselage and wing structure, that's original 1950s aluminum, and it's still going. Here's what you need to know if you're a general aviation pilot, and you think this doesn't apply to you. It does. The same principle that keeps the B-52 flying is the same principle that makes a well-maintained Cessna 172 from 1975 perfectly safe to fly today. Airframe life is not about age. It's about cycles, corrosion management, and structural inspection. The calendar is not the enemy. Neglect is number two. The Lockheed C-130 Hercules first flight, August 1954, 71 years in continuous production, which makes it the longest continuously produced military aircraft in history. More than 2,500 built, and they're still making them. The current version, the C-130J Super Hercules, shares the same basic configuration as the original, the high wing, the four engines, the rear cargo ramp, the rugged landing gear designed for unimproved strips. But under the skin, almost everything has changed. The genius of the C-130 was never about any single system. It was about the configuration that high wing keeps the engines and props away from debris on rough fields. The rear ramp lets you load and unload without ground equipment. The landing gear was designed to take a beating on dirt, gravel, even sand. Kelly Johnson's team at Lockheed, and yes, that Kelly Johnson, the same one who designed the U-2 and the SR-71, they got the shape right on the first try. And when a shape is right, you don't change it. You just keep improving what's inside. The C-130 flies for more than 60 countries. It fights fires. It refuels helicopters. It hauls cargo to places where nothing else can land. It does hurricane hunting for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. If you've ever been to an air show and watched a Fat Albert run with the Blue Angels, that's a C-130. The airframe does everything because the basic design was so fundamentally sound that it accommodates almost any mission you throw at it. Number three, the Boeing KC-135 Stratotanker. This one doesn't get the attention it deserves. First flight, August 1956. The KC-135 is the aircraft that makes American air power possible. Without tankers, fighters and bombers have limited range. With tankers, they can go anywhere. The KC-135 has been refueling aircraft for nearly 70 years. Now here's what's interesting from an aviation perspective. The KC-135 shares its basic airframe with the Boeing 707, one of the first successful jet airliners. The 707 has been out of passenger service for decades. But the tanker version soldiers on. Why? Because tankers don't accumulate pressurization cycles the way airliners do. An airliner might pressurize and depressurize 6 or 8 times a day. A tanker might do it once. Fewer cycles means less fatigue. Less fatigue means longer life. It's the same reason a crop duster that's never been above 5,000 feet can have 30,000 hours on the airframe and still be structurally sound. The KC-135 fleet has been re-engined with modern, fuel-efficient CFM56 turbofans, the same engine family that powers the Boeing 737. That re-engine program alone extended the fleet's life by decades and made each aircraft dramatically more capable. More fuel to give away. because the tanker itself burns less. Number 4. The Lockheed U-2. First flight, August 1955. This is the high-altitude reconnaissance aircraft that became famous when Francis Gary Powers was shot down over the Soviet Union in 1960. Most people assume the U-2 was retired after that incident. It was not. It's still flying, still operational, still doing the intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance mission at 70,000 feet, more than 70 years after its first flight. The U-2 is essentially a jet-powered glider. It has an aspect ratio more like a sailplane than a military aircraft. It's so aerodynamically efficient that landing it is one of the hardest tasks in military aviation. The wings want to keep flying. Pilots need a chase car on the runway. Another pilot driving a sports car calling out altitude and attitude, just to get the thing on the ground. Every U-2 landing is essentially a controlled stall onto the runway. For the general aviation crowd, there's something to admire in the U-2's longevity. It was designed to do one thing extraordinarily well: fly high and slow and look down. That single-minded focus on mission is why it's still around. The Air Force has tried to replace it multiple times. Drones were supposed to make it obsolete. They haven't, because the U-2 can carry a wider variety of sensor packages, it can respond to tasking changes faster, and it puts a human mind at altitude where judgment calls matter. Sometimes the old way is still the best way. And number 5. The Sikorsky CH-53. The first version, the CH-53A Sea Stallion, flew in October of 1964, more than 61 years ago. Today the Marine Corps flies the CH-53K King Stallion, which is technically a new aircraft, but it carries the same designation, fills the same role, and exists because the Marines decided decades ago that they needed the biggest, most powerful helicopter they could get, and they've never stopped needing it. The CH-53 lineage is a masterclass in evolutionary design. Each version got bigger engines, better transmissions, more lift capacity. The current K model can carry 36,000 pounds of external cargo. That's more than a fully loaded C-130 could carry internally in the 1950s. A helicopter lifting what used to require a 4-engine fixed-wing transport. The Marines use it because they need to move heavy equipment from ships to shore without runways. That mission hasn't changed since the 60s, and until someone invents a better way to do it, the CH-53 will keep flying. So, what's the common thread here? Why do these 5 aircraft keep going when thousands of other designs have come and gone? 3 things. First, they were designed with structural margins that exceeded what was strictly necessary. Overbuilding is not a flaw when it gives you decades of extra life. Second, the basic configuration was right from the start. You can upgrade engines, avionics, and weapon systems, but you can't easily change the fundamental shape of an airplane. Get the shape wrong and no amount of modification will save it. Get it right and the platform can evolve for generations. Third, each of these aircraft fills a role that no replacement has been able to do better at an acceptable cost. The B-52 is cheaper to operate per flight hour than the B-1 or the B-2. The C-130 can land places nothing else can. The KC-135 does its job, and the replacement program has been delayed for years. The U-2 puts a human at 70,000 feet. The CH-53 lifts things helicopters aren't supposed to be able to lift. There's a lesson in here for all of us who fly. The best airplane isn't always the newest airplane. It's the one that does the job reliably, that's been maintained properly, and that fits the mission. Whether that's a B-52 or your 1968 Cherokee, longevity is earned, not given. This one drew from Simple Flying's look at the longest-serving military aircraft, and I filled in the details from the history books. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly smart, and I'll see you on the next ATIS.